Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Vic.
Name shall be called Master Savior, Rock of Ages, Friend of Sinners, Light of the World, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Bright and Morning Star. There is no one like you, the author of my salvation. You are the way, the truth, and the light. His name shall be called Prince of Peace, the Almighty, Son of the Living God. Ancient of Days, Alpha and Omega, the Great I Am. There is no one like you, the author of my salvation. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, there is no one like you, the author of my salvation. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the way, truth and life. You are the way, the truth and the life. Master Savior, Rock of Ages, Friend of Sinners, Light of the World, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Bright and Morning Star.
Morning, everybody. Thank you, Vicki. Let's continue to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, magnify your Son in our midst today. For indeed he is present where two or three are gathered together in his name. Father, may the word of God, the word of the kingdom, come through loud and clear by your Spirit, that we might understand how important it is to be citizens of the kingdom even now, for our citizenship is in heaven, and we're waiting for the Lord from there, who will change these bodies of ours from their humble state into their glorious state, as he's able to make all things form by his power. We look forward to that day, but while we're here, Father, let us be those who bring glory to your name by faith, by grace, and through faith, by receiving what you're giving, because apart from Christ we can do nothing, and unless he does it in us, for us, through us, and to us, it's not acceptable to you. So let us learn how to do that, how to let or allow him to do so, as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Bless the word of God as it goes forth. in our hearing to our understanding in the name of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, King of the Kingdom. Amen. I've entitled the message this morning, Soil, because that's what this first great parable is about. It's the mother of all parables. Unless you understand this one, you won't understand any of them. Why? Because it's about proper reception, careful reception of the word. The word of the kingdom. So what's the word of the kingdom? Christ is coming with his kingdom. So we're to be ready at all times. We don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know the day or the hour. We just know the times and seasons, the epochs and seasons. And we're not ignorant of those. And we have the panoramic view of church history. The seven consecutive eras of church history given to us in Revelation 2 and 3. And it's easy to identify where we're at. And historically, where all the other ones lie. And within general time frames. But our passage is Matthew 13. Turn there, please. 13:1. I'm going to read 13:1 to 23, and then we'll go back and look at the first few verses. How's that? Matthew 13:1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And great multitudes gathered to him, so that he got into a boat, sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower, the farmer, went out to sow the plant, to scatter seed. And as he scattered seed, some seeds fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon stony places, where they did not have much soil, or deep soil, enough depth to receive the seeds, to cover the seeds. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns. And the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, that is desire, and that desire becomes skilled in receiving from God that which he's giving, that which he has insisted that we hear and understand, hear and believe. Whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, that is just the general interest and the desire to understand true things, or the truth from God, God's word, to those who do not have, even what they suppose that they have, shall be taken away from them. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. They can't understand because they can't see or hear the truth or essence of God's message. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. It says, You'll keep on hearing, but you won't understand. And you'll keep on seeing, but will not perceive. Don't you think it's time we understand and perceive? after all this time, I think it's high time that we do. We listen to lots and lots of teaching in the local assembly, on tapes, on the radio, on television perhaps, and yet it seems to make so little difference in how we live. I just thought I'd say that. Not just you, me and you. All of us in the Church of Laodicea. It's Laodicea. We're rich, have need of nothing. God's blessed us with abundant wealth. You say, well, I'm not all that wealthy. Oh, you're wealthier than you know. I mean, to live in this nation and to have a cupboard, refrigerator full of food, a nice place to live, clothes to wear, a job, and money. Good heavens, you're rich. Never before in the history of the world was there a country like ours. God's blessed and graced it out. And do we appreciate it, or do we focus on what he's given? The gift or the giver? Better focus on the giver, because he's coming to be king. He's coming to judge the quick and the dead. The quick are the living, the dead are the unbelievers. He's coming to judge both. And he has his reward with him to give to those who he will judge according to their deeds. I thought deeds weren't important. Well, yeah, God's deeds are. The deeds of faith. The labors of love. The steady production of hope. Production, kingdom production. I hope you got 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold because you got good soil. See, this is about soil. It's not about seeds. The seed's good. The seed's always good. The soil's not ready. Perhaps it has clumps. And those clumps don't allow that seed to go in. Or rocks in it. Too many rocks in the soil. Rocky soil. So that the seed can't penetrate the soil. If it penetrates the soil, it'll come up. If it's planted deep enough, it'll root down, shoot up, and produce fruit. All by itself. So you're not doing it. God does it in you. As the Word takes hold of you. As you take hold of the Word, and the Word takes hold of you. That's what you have to do. You have to go until the Word takes hold of you. Not you take hold of the Word. You can't do it. Your dedication to it, your resolve isn't strong enough. But God will do it, and if he does it, oh, it'll produce wonderful fruit. You'll be a fully laden fruit tree. And he loves to draw near to take from that fruit and bless many people. So, where was I? Who knows? Therefore I speak to them in parables, and the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says you'll keep on hearing and not understand, and you'll keep on seeing but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. He said to the Hebrews Christians, the Hebrew Christians, God did because he wrote Hebrews. He said, by now you should be teachers, but you need to be taught all over again the rudimentary principles of Christ. I hope that's not so. God knows. You know. God knows. And their ears, with their ears, they scarcely hear. You know what they hear? Wow, 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 when the word comes. That's what they hear. It doesn't pierce and divide soul from spirit, joints and marrow. It's a sharp two-edged sword. Speaks with two mouths, judgment and blessing. Because we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Don't forget, we'll all stand before. Is this happy enough for you, Denise? Okay. She said, I want a happy message today. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the deeds we did in our body, whether they be good or bad. I don't know why. We're so hesitant to say that, aren't we? Because of the way we were taught. It's not about your works. But it is, ultimately. Because you can't do what you don't believe. And you can only do if you do believe. That is something that's well-pleasing to God, something acceptable to him. That's the only way you can do it. And he'll reward it if you learn to let or allow him to will and work inside of you. But if you offer him the unacceptable sacrifice of human righteousness, he repudiates it. Say, well, doesn't he like when you give to charities? Well, it depends on your heart attitude and the reason that you do it. To get tax breaks? That's not good enough reason. Help somebody. Make sure you support the church first so your pastor can do this. Not have to worry about taking care of so many little things. And he can have, his mind can be freed up to be fully immersed in the Word. You guys have done a beautiful job of that. Thank you so much for your participation and your dedication to the Lord in this place. We have wonderful disciples here, so I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching to you. Because we can all use a little boost every now and then. And the hard messages are the good ones. They're the ones that take you from complacency into contentment. Content with the Lord, to believe his word, to live like Jesus did, demonstrating how you live in the kingdom by every word of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not by bread, natural provisions, money, bread. You know, it's so hard to enter the kingdom for a rich man, but there's only a few that go in. Why? Because it's like putting them through the eye of a needle. It's hard to put anything, even thread, through the eye of a needle if you can't see. I tried to thread a needle once. Just once. I didn't do it very well. But to put a rich man, fat rich man, through the eye of a needle, that's not the gate in Jerusalem like somebody has taught, someone taught, and it was widely circulated. No, it's to put a rich man through the eye of a needle. The eye of a needle. A camel through the eye of a needle. It's like getting a rich man into the kingdom of heaven. That's the analogy. So, with their ears they scarcely hear, they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes. Yes, you can take this personally. Blessed are your eyes, because they see. And your ears, because they hear. The seeing eye and the hearing ear, God made both of them. And guess what? The ear tastes food like the palate. The ear tastes words like the palate tastes food. So you're going to eat the word with your ears. See, things are different in the kingdom of God. And your spiritual joy and all of your spiritual, ethereal, spiritual accoutrements that you have here will be your wealth in eternity. That's why you're going to invest material things into eternity here, so that you have the spiritual things there. Spending money, as it were. You want to have a whole bunch of spending money in heaven because there's so many things you can get that are so wonderful, that eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God's prepared for those who love him. See, the millennial kingdom is the wedding supper of the Lamb. And how blessed are those who are invited. That is to enjoy a 1,000-year wedding reception. Oh, it'll be good. Where you sit down at tables and eat and drink with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. But some to whom the kingdom was designed for won't be there. They're not allowed in to the feast. They have to wait till it's over. There are those who will have resignation, happiness, have eternal life. You know, like 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And if any man's work abides, he'll receive a reward. But if any man's work is burned," what happens? he suffers loss. Oh, he'll be saved. But like one escaping through the flame, he gets singed. Everything he did burns. There's nothing that God can commend. He doesn't condemn, but he can't commend. So what do you get? What you capacitated for. What you capacitated, what you allowed yourself to be capacitated for in life. And you can leave this earth capacitated or incapacitated. That's entirely up to you and how you receive what God's given, how you receive the word of the kingdom, and how the word of God is sown in the soil of your heart. So, he says next, truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it. They didn't see it like you do. They didn't have the New Testament. And to hear what you hear and did not hear it. They couldn't hear it. They didn't have the New Testament. And the gifts of communication. Apostles. Prophets, apostles. Pastors. The prophets were New Testament prophets. The apostles were given administrative responsibility for the church and inspiration to write the scriptures. And pastor, teacher, break it down and teach it and preach it. The euangelizo and caruso, they preach. Caruso is proclamation without much explanation. Whereas preaching is didaskaly, a teaching is endless explanation. Declaration and endless explanation. You got to feed people with an eyedropper. Way past the time when they should now be teachers. At least be able to study for themselves, feed themselves, change their own diapers, and go out and put some stuff in a pan and cook it and eat it. At least bacon and eggs. Boiled dinners. Some people, that's all they can make is boiled dinner. They boil everything. Certain things that aren't good boiled. Anyway, I digress, to say the least. So he says then, verse 18, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom is important. The kingdom's coming. That's what we need to concentrate upon. Not that Jesus came, but that the kingdom's coming. Look for and long for and love is appearing so that we can get the crown of righteousness and rule and reign with Christ, because some will and some won't. So when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, why? Because they can't? No, of course they can. God will reveal these things to them and open their mind. They might behold wondrous things out of his word and understand what he's talking about in these passages. But those who do not understand won't, given the time of day. They won't allow him to instill his word. They won't give enough attention. They don't have enough desire and won't give enough attention to receive what God's given, which is the great issue of human history in every person's life. The great issue. After believing in Christ, the great issue is the word of the kingdom. See how important it is? So, if they do not understand it because they will not receive it or take the time to do so, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. That is, just without thought. He's a little on the hyper-emotional side. See, emotion has no content. It can't plant the word in your soul, emotion. Oh, that's a wonderful verse. I don't know what it means, but it's wonderful. It just makes me so happy for a second until something arises like a problem. And then it's gone. It never makes it from apprehension to application because there's no assimilation. You have to hear it again and again. You have to think about it. You have to give the Holy Spirit a chance to teach you, to drive it deep. You have to learn how to lay aside all evil and what remains of filthiness and receive with meekness the deeply implanted word. And that'll save your soul. That means in time. Save your life. Save your soul. Give you a happy life instead of a miserable life, reaping what you've sown. But you sowed to the flesh. What do you get from the flesh? Corruption, always. And God doesn't judge you in that. That's the way he programmed the universe. Every negative decision has negative consequences. You sow negative things, you get negative things, right? Took me a long time to learn that. Took me way too long to learn that. And now I've learned it. I still slip and fall, and so do you. We all do. But thank God we have the grace recovery procedure so that when the Holy Spirit shows us that we've sinned, we just say, yes, we did. And then we move on. We get a clean slate. And none of it is ever remembered. None of it's ever brought up. God just wants to have something in you to command. Something his son did to command. So, he has, it says then, and the one whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but is temporary, has a brief moment. And when affliction or persecution arises, or opposition arises in his life because of the word, immediately he falls away. Pipto. He falls down. He doesn't rely on the word. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches are weeds that choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word, pays attention, attends to the word, gives necessary, undivided attention to the word, and as a result understands it, who indeed bears fruit. What fruit is he talking about? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faith, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Law doesn't produce it. The Spirit does. Through the word, the seed of the word planted in good soil. And you get all of them in an abundance. It'll fill your orchard with fruit. Your fruit trees will fill your arbors with grapes. Clusters of 9 grapes. Beautiful clusters of grapes. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not the fruit of unrighteousness, but the fruit of righteousness. The pleasant fruit of righteousness. Pleasant fruit. So, he produces 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So, let's go back to 13:3. We'll start at 13:3. We did the other part in the last message of the message before last. It says, and he spoke many things to them in parables. Parable means, para means alongside, and bole means to roll or throw. So these are heavenly spiritual truths rolled alongside the earth, or earthly truths rolled alongside heavenly truths, so that people might see in these spiritual analogies indispensable principles from the Word of God. Essential principles of the Word of God. It starts out like this. It says, and he spoke to them many things by or in parables, saying, Idu, look and listen. Listen up. Give attention to. attend to what I'm about to say. Then he says, the sower, the spiron. Spiron is a seed, the one who sows seed. He said, the sower, the one sowing, literally, went out, exerchema, he went out. He came out from heaven, this God that's sowing seeds. Jesus is the sower. It's the Son of Man. The sower is the Son of Man. The seed is the Word of God. The soil is the receptivity of the believer. So he says, like I said, this is the most important parable. You can't understand any parables until you understand this one. Because this is what it's all about. The rest of them all branch out from here. Give birth to the others. It's the mother of all parables. Give birth to the others. The sower went out to sow. Indeed he did. Then, and in the sowing, his sowing, some, on one hand, fell beside the hodon, that is the road or the way. And it says, coming the birds swooped down to eat them. What? The seeds. So the word is the seed. The road is the beaten path upon which men come and go each day. Each day there's seed that falls along the path, and yet there is not enough soil to even plant it, lays on the surface. There's enough seed, but there's not enough soil. There's enough seed that if it is received, if it's planted, there's enough seed to be a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet to show you the way. But instead they walk over it or walk on by. This is important for all of us. Take it to heart. They neither recognize nor appreciate it nearly as much or as often as they should. And therefore, what do you think will result? Nothing. Though they need it, they're distracted and diverted by their busy lives and not interested enough to take it up or take it in. Oh, the birds are happy to take it away. They love seeds. They eat them and store them and carry them and deposit them elsewhere. This parable is not about bird seed. It's about soil. The seed is the given. It has the life in it. The soil is the burial. The seed's good, but the soil is unprepared or scarce. Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. Snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one in whom seed was sown beside the road. Matthew 13:5. Other seeds fell. That's pipto again. Like you've drifted off course, you've fallen from grace. Pipto, parapipto, ekpipto. But fell on the stony. It's Petrode, like Petros, like Peter, stony. The stony soil, just as stony, fell on the stony, which did not have much or enough, what? Earth, gain, and immediately, sprang up, because it did not have depth. bathos, no depth of soil. The condition is no soil, so there's no rooting. The cure is stop what you're doing, get the word. Plow it up, till it, break up the clumps. According to Hosea 10:12, sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. Matthew 13:6, but when the sun had risen, it says, then the sun, having risen up, scorched it. And Dia, because it had no depth, it withered. Too little, too late, too hot. You can't water in the sun. You must do so early before the sun gets hot, which is equivalent to the day getting tough. The soil gets harder and drier, and the tiny plant burns up in the sun. This is what happens to the word in your soul. This is why there is little connection, little growth, little progress, if any. The word of the kingdom is, first and foremost, seek the kingdom first. That's the word of the kingdom. Seek the kingdom first. Even as the word of wisdom is, get wisdom. Wisdom is the most important thing, and if it costs you everything you have, get understanding. Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is get it. This fulfills the instruction of Jesus and his warning, be careful how you listen. Very important. Be careful how you hear, he says. Therefore, hearing requires what? Know-how. Know-how to hear, to listen. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God. Draw near to listen, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know they are doing evil. So here's some pointers for you. Number one, come expectantly to church, having prayed for the pastor. How many prayed for me today? Before it? One, two, oh, three. All right. Three out of 25. Pray for me, for your sin. It'll help you. It's not about me. It's about you. I prayed for myself, believe me. And I prayed for you. Always do. Lord, edify them, strengthen them, encourage them by the word of God. Warn them by the word of God. It's no good if I just encourage you. I don't warn you. You say, oh, speak to us smooth. The Lord said through Isaiah, he said, my communicators are dogs, but they don't bark. They're supposed to bark. They're supposed to warn you that danger is impending. That the judgment's coming. The kingdom's coming. Get ready. Guard your steps as you go to the house of the Lord. Come expectantly, having prayed for the pastor, for he is a mere man who without the anointing of God is nothing. That he can offer, communicate, nothing to impress you with. Expect the Holy Spirit to give you something valuable each time you come, something you need, something you will never forget. And if your expectation is toward him, he will, each and every time. Imagine how many things you'll accumulate that are important over the weeks and years of your life. He'll give you something that is memorable, even unforgettable. Before you hear the word of God, number three, or read the word of God, before you meditate upon it or study it, make sure you have a clear conscience and a clean slate. That is, through the confession of any known sin, which is requisite to effective listening. You can't listen if you harbor some sin. Unless you clear the air, you can't fully attend to the word. And if there's unforgiveness towards somebody, forgive others that have offended you. Just forgive them before the Lord. And then you can forgive them and You don't have to hang around with them, but you can forgive them. And don't let that hamstring you, because it only hamstrings you. It only hurts you. It doesn't hurt them. And make amends if perhaps you've offended others. Do that. Then you're clear. Then you've got a clean slate, a clear conscience. James 1:21, putting aside all filthiness, that's filthiness, and all that remains of wickedness, kakia, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. See, there it is right there. That just summarizes it beautifully. Okay, make amends. That was number four, confess your sins. Number five, clear your conscience. Number six, forgive others. Number seven, make amends if you've offended others. Number eight, pray for concentration and understanding. Enter into faith rest. That's number eight. Number nine, enter into faith rest. Do not strive to listen, but relax and enjoy the person of Christ, who is present where two or three are gathered in his name. Let the message, number 11, envelop you. What I mean is, do not dwell on any one point. Rather, let the whole message flow over your soul like the waves of the ocean. Number 13, don't think about others who need the message you're hearing, because it's not for them. It's for you, because they're not here and you are, and they won't hear it and you did. It's for you. I remember for years I did it. Boy, I wish she could be here or he could be here to hear this. Well, they're not. So wish in one hand and whatever you do in the other. They're going to come. It's for you. So you just say, Lord, teach me, teach me, teach me. He'll take care of them too in one way or another. They'll either get the pleasant fruit of righteousness or the rotten peaches of wrong thinking and bad decisions. Number 14, 11 was let the message envelop you. Number 12 is let the word flow over your soul. Number 13 is don't think about others. Number 14 is when the message ends, always thank God for what you've received. And before you speak to another person, express to him that you believe the word that you've heard and received. And you'll be surprised how much things will enhance, how much these things will enhance, not only the reception, but likewise the retention of that which was presented. Retention is the key. Retention is the important. If one is careful to hear in this way, he or she will grow beautifully, steadily, fruitfully. Careful listening always resolves in fruitful living. Always. Careful listening always results in fruitful living. The kingdom of God is not first careful living. Rather, it's careful listening. God knows your struggles. He knows your weakness, your natural tendencies to drift, your limited attention span, and will augment, quicken, and expand your capacity to listen and learn, retain and recall, assimilate and apply his gracious word. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. What a promise. I want all that, don't you? I need that. Because my outward man's perishing by inches, feet, and yards. Quickly, so quickly. This life's torn away so quick. I couldn't be 62 already. It's impossible. You say, oh, I thought you were older than that. Well, I think you're older than that. And you're only in your mid-50s. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What matters is what's happening on the inside. You renewed? You're being renewed day by day? All these things are dynamic, powerful, by the Word and the Spirit, because they are taken by some, practiced and implemented, of and by faith, are well-pleasing to the Lord. Hebrews 11:3, without faith it's impossible. to please God. By acquiring and honing listening skills, you demonstrate humility and invite good health, as it just told us, great happiness and abundant blessing. That doesn't mean you won't have problems, because you will. It's inevitable. In this world, you will have trouble. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's appointed unto all of us, not only to believe in him, but to suffer. All those who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So there you go. There's the balance. So this could be the answer to your question. Why am I stressed, depressed, and deprived of rest? And the solution to your problem: acquire and hone listening skills. Those who will reign in the kingdom with Christ are those with listening skills. And these will get even more. Those who do not have them are disqualified, get nothing more. Mark 4:24, and he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. He said, be careful how you listen. Now he says, be careful what you listen to. In Mark 4:24, just variation on a theme. He's talking about the same things he's talking about in Matthew and Mark. Be careful. Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Make sure what you listen to is true. That's the point. Look it up. Check it out. Never follow blindly. See, you can get a concordance online on the internet and commentaries. The concordance is always good because it just shows you where this verse or where this word is and throughout the entire Bible. And the commentaries, some of which are good. And if they are, God the Spirit will confirm it or refute. That was you hear and question as he leads you and guides you. The Spirit does this into all truth, all categories of truth. Make sure what you hear conforms to godliness. What I mean is, make sure that the truth you hear is gracious and that it leans Godward, not manward. It's God-centered, theocentric, not anthropocentric, not man-centered. If you listen with that in view, you listen to the radio and TV, the ministries on radio and TV, it's all about man. It's not about God. It's not about Christ. It's about man. It's man-centered. This is how you do this and how you do that. It's not about Christ doing it in you, for you, through you, to you, all he requires of you. No. It's about you doing it. You can do nothing apart from his power, his word, and his spirit. You can't do anything. You're shot. You don't have what it takes. But he does. That's the reason he came and indwelled us. All three members of the Trinity indwell us for that purpose. So that we might produce for the kingdom of God fruit that remains, that lasts. Make sure what you hear conforms to godliness. And godliness is lends itself toward the devotion of the believer to the glory of God by grace, by receiving the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and reveal the inheritance that's yours among all those who are sanctified, intended for all, received by some. Also, that's Romans 6:17, Philippians 2:12 and 13. Particular type of teaching. It's grace teaching in Acts 20:32. Make sure that Christ is magnified and glorified by the teaching in question and that it strikes the balance that only grace and truth presents. Every search must seek God's counsel and not man's. Let God be true and every man a liar. The many books that are written espouse many theories and systems that are devised by man. You can read them if you want. Just make sure you verify and authenticate the claims and the concepts. that are presented with direct scriptural witnesses. Two, or better yet, three witnesses. That means verses that specifically back that. Or passages, not just verses, but passages. Because you can easily take them out of context. That's what Satan does with the word. It's highly recommended that you read through the Bible every year. Say, oh, why? That just goes along with all this evangelical stuff. Well, that's what we are, evangelical Christians. Read through it every year. Even the parts about he begat and begot and begat and begot and begat. This is how many people are in the tribe, and this is what they did and went out to war. Da, 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 da. All these things that you say, oh, that means nothing. Everything means something. Something important. Even if it just demonstrates God's great faithfulness and preservation of Israel. Anyway, so read through the Bible every year so that you become acquainted with the entire Bible. For how else will you identify error? Not by somebody's teaching that selected this verse and that verse. You can eat them all. You live by every word of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So, you can't check error unless you're acquainted. Not familiar, but acquainted. That doesn't mean you can quote Deuteronomy 12:1 or 3:13 or Ecclesiasticals or the book of Deborah. Those aren't. Well, see, if you knew your Bible, you'd know those weren't in it. Anyway. The more you know, the greater your protection from error. In the last days, some teachers with large followings will depart from the faith. Hope you know that. 1 Timothy 4:1. The faith refers to the entirety of Christian truth contained in the New Testament in the 66 canonical books of the Bible. There's nothing new. All of it was completed in 96 AD, and as Jude tells us, once for all, delivered to the saints. So be wary of all these new things and twists and new schemes. We have the faith once for all delivered. Yes, it's the historic Christian faith, not Catholicism, but true biblical understanding. New Testament understanding. With explanation for the old, all the things in the Old Testament are explained in the New. And they go back and forth. The New Testament's 80% requotation of the Old Testament. But it just brings it all up to date, shows you what it means. Granted, there's many things that we have yet to understand. But the plain meaning of Scripture must not be misconstrued, falsely combined, or selectively used to deceive. As Satan attempted to do with Jesus in the wilderness, which was to no avail, because Jesus knew the scriptures, having read and studied them to age 30, ever before he would minister publicly. He's just being tested in the wilderness. Then he goes into his 3.5-year ministry. That's the first thing he did. He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, tested by Satan. Knowing all things that were written of him, Satan was no match for him and had to flee. Like our Lord, we're to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, must be cognizant of Satan's devices. The main one being twisting or wresting the scriptures from their context, making them seem like the truth when in fact they're used for his sinister purpose to deceive, to blind, and to misguide the naive. The kingdom, when it comes, even though it's free from Satan, Satan's locked in the abyss for 1,000 years, yet man will still resist and rebel, for he is evil and unbelieving all by himself. Let's close. Father, thank you for these things. Father, give us a new sense of depending upon you and getting your word in our soul. Because, Father, that's why we're here. And if we don't accomplish that, then we've wasted our life. We wasted our opportunity, and we cannot expect to receive anything from the Lord as far as the commendation, the inheritance, or a piece of the rock and a piece of the kingdom. What you promise to those who love you, and those who love you keep your word. For whoso keepeth his word in this in him, the love of God is fully developed. Father, thank you for these things. Give us a real, renewed interest and desire, and open our minds. Father, we thank you for what we received today. We believe it. It's from you. It's from your word. We need it. Teach us again the principles of effective spiritual listening. Not only how we hear, but what we receive, what we hear. Careful what you take in, because it takes some ingenious little proposal to sway you sometimes if you don't have a good grasp on the overwhelming testimony of Scripture. And you should by now. And if you don't get it now, before it's too late, and you lose out, miss out, let that seed every day, Father, fall. Before the sun comes up, into the soil of our heart, which is prepared to receive it, to receive you. Receiving your word is receiving you every single day. Presenting ourselves to you is receiving you, receiving your word every day. It's hanging on the cross as a living sacrifice. Until we're crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to us, crucified in our thinking. For indeed we are, and raised up together with Christ, seated in heavenly places. Father, may we go there every day to the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy to help. Because we need help. We need your help. We need your power. We need truth and power. Grace and truth. To guard our hearts. For from them flow the issues of life. If, Vicki, if you would get ready, if I could have my ushers, please. Father, bless the offering today also in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
If we could all stand.